What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to episode 100 of More Wrestling's podcast. 100. I'm your host, Dylan Morrison, joined today with Zach. We are here with an NCAA recap of the 2024 Division III NCAAs that were held this past weekend in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Zach, how's it going?
Not too bad, man. I can't believe we're at 100, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the plan was to have somebody else for 100, but I think this is going to be a great episode because one, I was at the NCAA, so I mean, there's a good stuff to talk about, and two, we're gonna have some kind of guests that I'll, I'm interviewing several of the All-Americans, later on today that I'll plug into this episode, so it's gonna be a good one. But yeah, episode 100, we did it. It's started this podcast about 3 years and 2 months ago, roughly. I think it was
somewhere around
January of 2021. So yeah, we made it to 100, and here we are. Word to the wise, though, don't buy a Lexus. And apparently I bought a new house too, so if for those that follow me on Instagram, follow my personal account, Dylan Morrison on Instagram. Yeah, I got hacked. People were congratulating me at the Nationals, like, oh man, sweet Lexus, how was it, this, that, and the other. I'm like, guys, come on, I got hacked. It's not a fun time to talk about that. I mean, I was literally driving down to Syracuse to jump on a train, and I couldn't get onto my Instagram, and then all of a sudden they were starting to post about my Bitcoin habit and me buying a Lexus and all this other stuff. So long story short, I made a new Instagram, and that is more_wrestling_. And that's where I put out the content from the Division III Nationals. And there's pretty good content out there. Tried to get some of the highlights of the tournament, you know, when Samson was St. John Fisher's first All-American. Sean Malafant was Alfred State's first All-American, Division III All-American. And, I got Grigas, I got Vivenzi and Peacock going crazy when Mike Glenn, All-American for RIT. So, yeah, there's a lot of good content on my More Wrestling Instagram. And I think we might make a TikTok, too, because apparently that's the new craze these days with the high school kids and whatnot. So that'd be cool.
It makes it really easy to make some cool content, too. So, I'm pretty excited to get that kicked up and running. I got some pretty cool ideas to throw into that. So,
yeah. So the NCAAs, I went down as a media guy. That's kind of how I got the good content. And it was kind of funny because I don't know if it was before the Mideast Regionals, maybe it was after, but I was like, sitting at home drinking a few drinks, and I messaged the guy for, or I reached out to NCAA for for a media pass, and lo and behold, I got it approved like a week after Mideast Regional. So I was like, shoot, or a week before. Yeah. So, I mean, that week leading into NCAAs. And I was like, man, I got to go. I got to look for travel. I got to look for hotels, which hotels wasn't a big issue. The travel was, because if you're, a week out from the NCAA tournament and you're trying to fly into a small little place like La Crosse, Wisconsin, well, first it was, couldn't fly in there. And second of all, the prices were kind of jacked up. So I decided to take a train from Syracuse to Chicago, 13 hours of travel, and then a 5-hour layover, and then about another 5-hour trip from Chicago to La Crosse, Wisconsin. So it was pretty interesting, little travel, I guess. But I did meet up with Alex Sampson's high school coach along the way in Chicago. So yeah, it was definitely a unique experience traveling. And then I just got back yesterday at 2 p.m. So Monday at 2 p.m., we left Sunday morning. So just, I'm still kind of like a, lagging a little bit today, but yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had the opportunity to go out there. That would have been a lot of fun. I've always wanted to go to D3s. I've always heard, like, you hear like the best media people in the country, like Jason Bryant, everybody talk about how it's the best tournament in the world. And it like almost throws you off, because obviously I know I have the perception that D1s is the best tournament in the world, but I've been to D1s. But it's just kind of surprising to hear somebody say, D3s is one of the best tournaments in the world. But I think you kind of backed that up a little bit after this weekend, no?
Yeah, oh, 100%. Like, same thing. I mean, I've heard from a lot of people, and even like the college coaches in New York, that are like, oh man, have you been to D3s before? I'm like, no. And I get there, and obviously it's a smaller venue than the Division I's. There's less fans, but like the fans that go are going to support the crap out of their program. Right. Like, you look up into the stands and Wartburg had their own section, like the Sea of Orange. Augsburg, obviously Augsburg and Wartburg have won the last 30
30.
championships or something like that since like 1995. The last team did not win it, or to win it that wasn't one of them is Ithaca, I believe. So, yeah, it's Augsburg had their crew. You remember Wisconsin lacrosse, the whole school had obviously a huge following, and they were top three in the races. And Wabash is crazy. Like, it's crazy, and like everybody has a chant. So like if one team was cheering, the one fans would be like, "Oh, we can't hear you! Clap, clap, clap! We can't hear you!" It's just it's hilarious. And yeah, it was just the coolest thing ever. But so it was cool to experience that. And like of course, I was on the floor media doing media stuff. And I mean, I had my phone. I was taking pictures, taking little video clips. I was kind of like a small media outlet amongst big media, but it was cool to like rub shoulders and talk shop with a few of the media people. They're like, "Who are you here with?" This, that, and the other. I'm like, "Well, this isn't a full-time job. I'm doing this absolutely for free, paying to come out here." But it was totally worth it because I got a lot of good content. I was able to watch a few of my buddies coach some All-Americans. So like, it was cool. But like, I've also like talked shop with some of those high-level media guys. And like, one guy was the voice. He used to be the voice of UNI Wrestling. He's friends with Brad Penrith. He's an Iowa guy. He lives in Wartburg. Well, he is the voice of like Wartburg Wrestling. His name's Ben Hupke. And I was actually walking on day two. I was like, I'm not even gonna take an Uber. I'll just walk a couple miles to get to the venue. Because of course, my legs were all tired and whatnot from the train ride. But I get this, somebody's beeping at me in a white minivan. I'm like, I don't want any candy. You know what I mean? And the guy's like, "Oh," he's like, "Get in here." I was like, "No, that's okay." And I thought it was my Uber driver from the day before. I'm like, "Oh man, you're not working, whatever." And then he rolled down the window, and it was Ben Hupke. And the guy's an older guy, and he's like, "Get in here. This is Midwest hospitality." He gave me a ride the remaining mile to the arena or the center. But yeah, it was really cool just to hear his story in the sport. Obviously, he's been in the media world a whole heck lot longer than I have. But he had some really good stories, and he definitely spoke his mind. But he was the voice of Wartburg, so he had thousands of people listening in. Wartburg's got a ton of supporters, but a lot of Iowa people listen in on his broadcasting and whatnot. So that was pretty cool. I gotta give him a shout out on that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Just to kind of backtrack a little bit, you were talking about the environment and again the fans and everything. And one thing I'll say was like watching the broadcast for the finals. I typically watch it every year because it's always a good team race for the most part between usually Augsburg and Wartburg. But this year specifically, obviously we had the lacrosse, Wisconsin lacrosse, really in it. They had four finalists, and listening to the crowd, you could hear it through the broadcast, like. You could hear the Wartburg and Augsburg guys cheering against the lacrosse guys when they were wrestling, and vice versa. You could hear the lacrosse guys going against those other ones. And it definitely felt more like a almost like a high school dorm meet, instead of a national tournament because of everybody there had a dog in the fight, in almost every match.
Yeah, and so the cool thing is, the tournament's going to be on the East Coast next year. I mean, it was in Roanoke, Virginia last year, but it's going to be at in Providence next year. So I mean, Johnson and Wales is hosting it. Obviously, it'd be crazy to get a huge New York following because, I mean, Messiah had a good following. They had a lot of it was more student athletes, I think, that were in the stands cheering and whatnot, but. Just to have that, behind you, and you're walking to a mat, and the fans kind of getting into your head, right? This is Division III wrestling. I mean, it's not the Division I wrestling when you have drunk people in the stands yelling at you. It's D1 wrestling or D3, and like, I mean, it can get into your head. I'm actually going to tell a story, and I'll talk a little bit about it later with when I bring on Charlie Grigas. But Grigas went to grab a coffee out of the stands, and it was near the. It was where he was warming up, but he stood on a chair, reached up, and his dad, I think, gave him a coffee. And an Augsburg kid was like, "Hey, Grigas," or "Hey, kid, Goatsinger," which is the kid from Augsburg, "is going to pin your ass," or something like that. And he smiled at him, whatever. Well, that's the match that he almost had Grigas pin, the Augsburg kid, but Grigas came back to beat him 19-9. But it was just, you have a lot of, passionate fans, and some of them are college kids that are going to speak their minds. And it was just really cool. I mean, if you've never been to Division III Nationals, you got to go. And next year, Providence, It's not that bad. It's definitely not a 24-hour train ride, so I kind of would recommend going.
Yeah, we'll see what my 33-pound friend is doing, and then we'll decide if I'm going or not.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of trailblazing opportunities this year with like I said, Alfred State and John or St. John Fisher crowning their first All-Americans, and I think it's going to open up a lot of doors. But there are a lot of young guys in New York, you know, across the New York colleges that I think could knock down some doors next year. So, yeah, we can we won't get into all the eight All-Americans at each weight, but you know, we'll talk about the just finalists, I guess, at each weight, and then any of the New York All-Americans at that weight.
Or just competitors, you know, like they qualify, they should definitely get some notification.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a few New York guys that were that qualified, obviously, that did not All-American, but they deserve no. I don't want to miss out on them because I didn't really highlight them in the brackets. But for the most part, I got it. But at 125 pounds, Johnson and Wales, Josiah Frye won by major decision over Christian Guzman of North Central in the finals. And Josiah Frye is tough. I believe he was a national champ
Oh,
last
good.
year, and won by tech fall, tech fall, tech fall, and then a major in the finals. And he was pretty impressive. And it helps that one of his coaches at Johnson and Wales is Stephen Keith, who was a Section 11 guy. He was actually at the States, New York States this year. You probably saw him. He was there recruiting some of the New York guys, but he wrestled at Harvard, was an All-American at Harvard, and now he's an assistant coach at Johnson and Wales. So, yeah, I mean, Johnson Wales, I think, had five All-Americans. So, Josiah Frye was one of them, and he was a national champ.
Dude, he's so impressive. He's so good. Like I was just like, I was like, he's one of those kids where it's like, man, like, could he compete D1? Like, could he actually go out there and win some matches at D1s? Or I mean, maybe not at 125 right now because of how deep that weight class is in D1. But like, man, like he was good.
Yeah, I believe he wrestled at Campbell
Yeah.
University, the Campbells. Yeah, so it was tough. I mean, there, like you said, though, there's several guys that were actually pretty good. Nolan Hertel of Augsburg was really good, and then or of Wisconsin Lacrosse rather, and then 84-pounder, I believe it is from Augsburg, is really tough as well. But
Yeah,
yeah, at this weight, we had Aiden Cardenas of Portland. He was a national qualifier last year at 33. He went down to 25 this year. He lost 12-7 to the 3 seed. You know, he won a wrestle back match, and then he actually lost to Decatur, which I believe was the national finalist last year, Baldwin Wallace.
yes.
And Decatur was a 4 seed, but got beat in the quarterfinals and dropped down to where Cardenas was. So Cardenas lost to the 3 seed and the 4 seed. So it was kind of rough, but
Decatur previously wrestled at Ohio State.
yeah, there's several Decaturs. Jacob
This is the
and
brother.
Jordan, I think.
Jordan's at Kent State. He was also at Ohio State previously. But Jacob left Ohio State before Jordan did.
He's a
Jacob
short
was
little
there.
feller.
Yes.
He's tough. Moving up to 133 pounds, we've got Chase Randall of United States Coast Guard winning in the finals by fall over Hinton of Baldwin Wallace. Baldwin Wallace is another school. Obviously, we just talked about Decatur was there. Jaden Hinton was a 3 seed. He made it to the finals. They have a huge following as well, and they actually had the foam fingers that had 3 fingers holding up for a takedown. So that was like the first time I've seen a 3-fingered foam finger thing, you know, being waved for a three takedown. But yeah, Chase Randall, he was the 5 seed. I believe he was Coast Guard's first national champion ever. I think
Yes.
that's what Jason Bryant said.
Yes, he
But
was.
yeah, Chase Randall's tough. Got to talk about Isaac Torres though, Ithaca. He was an 8 seed. He found himself on the podium. And he took 7th. And I've got a clip of him actually winning the blood round, getting excited, you know, pumped up in the corner with Marty Nichols and Gomez, Coach Gomez. So, yeah, this weight though, Zach Levy was at the weight. I honestly thought he wrestled tough, lost to Diggs 9-8 in the pigtail, wrestled back. He beat Hawes of Centenary, was, I believe, it was a rematch of Mideast Regionals, pinned him. He falls down and lost to Blair, who kind of went on a run after that. And so he
Did
lost on riding time. I think it was like a second riding time differential
one
from between him and Blair.
was
And
1 second of riding time,
yeah, it
and
was rough. I mean, sitting there, obviously, mat side. I mean, it was definitely shitty to see. But like I
was
said,
struggling.
Blair
I
kind of
was
went on a run.
struggling in overtime. I was struggling in overtime. I don't know if you watched the whole match or not, but I mean, the end of sudden victory, Levy had the kid on like broken in danger for
Oh,
5 seconds.
yeah, this is the match. This is
Dude.
what, so I've got a gripe with kind of some of the officials. A lot of the officials weren't really calling danger call, danger
Yeah.
one, danger two. And kids were on their back for like 3 or 4 seconds. And I'm like, where they just started the count at like 3 or 4 seconds, or not even like maybe five. And I'm like, there, and I believe that was challenged. And
Yeah, it
I just,
was.
but the, and
It
the part,
was.
the bad part was from where their angle was. I don't, I think from where the angle was of the table, I don't know if you could totally see the criteria. And from where I was, I could definitely see that he was in criteria,
I
for
mean,
danger one, danger two.
the ref was right there in position, you know? And
Yeah,
like
he was definitely in position, and there's two refs.
the thing that annoyed me more is like in that exact scramble that eventually led there. Maybe 15 seconds earlier, they started calling danger when Zach was on his back. And Zach reacted appropriately and kept working through the scramble and then puts him on his back. And then they don't count for the entire time. And I went back right before we started this recording. I was like, I want to know exactly how long. It was 5 actual seconds. The kid was in criteria, clearly, that the ref didn't even make a single swipe. And I was like, dude,
Yeah.
it was so frustrating.
I think I recorded that. I don't know if I still have it on my phone, but I think I recorded that because I was like, all right, if he comes up out of this, it's gonna be a takedown and it's gonna be awesome. But
Right.
obviously that's not the way it played out. But both guys that he lost to, Diggs took eighth, Blair took fifth. Levy's obviously a beast, and it just sucked to see him lose the way he did. But of
Yeah.
course, him
He
being
lost
one of
the
your
four.
guys obviously stings a little bit more for you.
Yeah, he lost the four guys this year. Three of them all American. Another one lost in the blood round.
Jeez.
He had a great year. 30, I think it was 30-5. Yeah, I mean, it was a heartbreaker. It sucked. I talked to him afterwards. It was tough.
Yeah, that's brutal. Moving up to 141 pounds, we got Josh Wilson of Greensboro winning a national title at 141 over Jacob Reed of Ohio Northern. So it was a 2 seed versus 1 seed. Nothing crazy happened here. Beat out this weight. Something big crazy happened, and that was my man Alex Sampson of St. John Fisher wrestled that Victor Section 5 kid as a 7 seed. He won his first match, lost to the eventual champ 8-1, and then wrestled back and he placed 7th. But both kids that he lost to were obviously really good. The Greensboro kid was kind of impressive, but like watching Sampson, he was so loose and like he was very composed. Just nothing really rattled him. And he let the dudes in on his legs like a lot. Like he was so good with the far ankle. It was obviously a little bit of scrambling and whatnot, but like it was just the way he positioned his hips, and he just never really. He thought he was probably in a bad position, but he was so comfortable in that position. And there were several matches where he found himself on the better end of it against his opponents. But yeah, so Samson took 7th, winning 4-2 for 7th place. Another guy at this weight though, Victor Perelshi of Johnson and Wales.
I believe it's Paralushi.
Paralushi, which is 2 L, which is, I'm not gonna, gripe on that. But yeah, so Johnson and Wales, he took 6th place. He wrestled for Pleasantville in Section 1. I believe he took 2nd in the state in 2019. I think he lost to Worthing.
Yep.
Yeah, so he was another New York kid that placed in this bracket for an out of state team.
So
Moving
we
up.
got one as well, Gabe
Oh yeah.
Goss.
Yeah, Gabe Goss, got to give credit to that guy. So Gabe Goss is a freshman, made it to the national tournament, lost to Romero, the 3 seed, 12-3. Then he had a pigtail wrestle back, and he won that 6-0. And then he ended up losing to Victor Perleschi of Johnson & Wales. So, yeah, we had several New York guys at this weight, moving up to 149 pounds. We got Michael Petrella of Baldwin Wallace winning a national title over Tyler Goble of Wisconsin La Crosse. This was one of like four, I think 4 or 5 finalists for Wisconsin La Crosse, which obviously is a host school. They had a good following, and they were
Lacrosse
actually in a
has
good
four
position.
finalists.
They were in a good position to win the whole thing. And that was kind of the talk of the town leading into the finals. Yeah, he won at this weight. Also at this weight with Mike Glenn of RIT. Like I said, the 8 seed. He won an exciting 15-8 sudden victory in the first match. And then he lost to the eventual champ, 10-5. But yeah, so he got freaking Coach Peacock and Coach Bavenzi like fired up in the corner, and I got a few clips of them, you know, jumping up and down, fist pumping each other, and it was pretty good to see. So Lynn went down, lost in the quarters, and then he got a fall late. I want to say he was down against Alvarado of Averett, and he had like a figure forward on the leg, and he just folded over and got the fall, and that's when Peacock and Bavenzi went crazy. But yeah, shout out to Mikey Glenn of RIT. I believe he's a New Hampshire kid or New England kid. I'm not positive where he's from, but yeah, he had a good tournament. Moving up to 157 pounds, Nolan Hertel of
Ithaca also had a qualifier at 149, Matthew Bayer.
good call. Good call. I missed that one. 157 pounds, Nolan Hertel of Wisconsin Lacrosse won a national title. I believe he's a two-time national champ now. He beat Peter Kane of Williams College. Williams College is first national finalist since I think 2010, Jason Bryant said. Yeah, so at this weight, Cooper Ponte-DiFalo of New York University. Totally butchered that last name, but he was a two seed. He ended up getting pinned by Kane in the semis. And I think he was like, I mean, obviously he was ranked top two in the country the whole year, but Cooper was obviously one of the favorites in this weight. He did wrestle back, took third place though. Also in this weight for New York guys, we have Hoffman of John Hopkins. Hoffman is a Fox Lane kid out of Section One. He was in the weight. And then we have
Wenchel,
Blanchard Pierre Louis. Yes.
Louis,
He
yeah.
he's a Brentwood kid, I think, out of Section 11. He was in the weight class as well. He ended up losing to the five seed in the first match. And then he lost in the pigtail wrestle back as well. So we didn't have an All American besides, I guess, Cooper Ponte-DiFalo. But yeah. So we had several guys in this weight class as well. Moving up to 165 pounds, Matt Lackman of Alvernia. I believe he wrestled his brother last year in the national finals. He lost in the finals, or he lost in the semis this year. It was kind of I thought he was going to make the national finals as a returning national finalist. He lost in the semis to Lesang, another guy that got hot for Wisconsin Lacrosse, Noah Lesang. He ended up losing to Sacco of TCNJ, and that was also really good to see because TTNJ obviously is a Mideast team. It was great to see the Mideast guys kind of catch fire later in the tournament, you know, like
That was
all
also
of
a
our guys.
rematch. That was a rematch from the third place match last year, where Lisang beat Sako for third last year.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Same weight as the Lackman threat, right?
Yes. Yep.
I mean, I think they both wrestled at 65 last year again. Yeah, so I mean, that was obviously good to see that they Mideast guy make the national finals. Yeah, we didn't have
Other
anybody
than
in New York
like I said.
guys that place at this weight. Moving up to 174 pounds, this is where the returning All-American from Oswego State was. Charlie Grigas, the seventh seed, lost to Zane Mulder, which was a rematch of the national semifinals last year. He lost to him this year in the quarterfinals, 13-4. Grigas then wrestled back and found himself in the blood round against United States Coast Guard, beat him 8-6, and then of course he beat the Augsburg kid that I was talking about after being down 7-0, came back, beat him 19-9. And he actually lost to TCNJ kid, or no, excuse me, the New York University kid, Jason Geyer. And Geyer actually had the same kind of thing, like bent leg, figure four, just kept turning Grigas, and Grigas just couldn't get out of it. And I mean, obviously if you turn somebody over for four count a couple times, I mean, it's a quick match, and that's what it was. It's 2 minutes and 15 seconds that Geyer took to Tecfall Grigas in the Consi semis. But I mean, there was nothing you really could do. I mean, if
Right.
you're Charlie Grigas,
Once you get stuck in that, it's like a figure four Turk almost, kind of.
yeah, I would have to watch it again. I mean, I was watching that match go on, I think, as Malin Font was wrestling somebody else on a corner mat. But yeah. Once he was in it was just kind of game over. Very
Right.
similar to like, you know, Mitch Clark winning his national title and just boom, get it, go back over, get it, go back over. But yeah, we got to talk about Stephon Major of Stevens at this weight class. Crazy stat. He's a three-time All-American out of Suffolk County, and he never even got out of Suffolk County to go to the state tournament. I was reading that on Matt Diano's New York Wrestling News post. Yeah, crazy stat. He just never made it out of the Suffolk County, but he was a late bloomer, and he's a three-time All-American, so it's pretty impressive.
That's amazing. That's, I mean, I always like seeing that the kids who never qualified or, you know, struggled to qualify, getting that second shot in the college level. It's just it's awesome to see because it shows you that, I mean, at any point you can continue to improve.
Also, got to give a shout out to Jackson Gray of Ithaca. He was in this weight class as well. Moving up to 184 pounds. This is where Alfred State got their first Division III NCAA All-American in Sean Malenfant. So Sean won his first match 5-0. And then in his second match against Samson Wilkins of Castleton, he was up, but Castleton had riding time. And yeah, I think he thought maybe Sean thought that maybe he had riding time because it happened so crazy. Like he gave him an escape in 16 seconds instead of like trying to get the ride out. And then, of course, like I said, Samson had the riding time point that was the victory. I mean, it was 7-6, but he got a takedown in 23 seconds and he went out and got it and he lost. I mean, Sean was obviously bummed because you win that match, you're in the semis, you're automatically an All-American and you know, you're putting yourself in a better position to win the whole damn thing. But Sean wrestled tough. He in true Sean Malenfant fashion, he got a pin in the blood round over Furman of New York University. And then he had another rematch with Jack Ryan of Oneonta State, who he beat in the Mideast Region Finals. So he beat Jack Ryan again, 4-2 this time before losing in the Consi semis. Malenfant would then get a major to finish 5th place in the nation. So he went from placing 5th at States as a junior the year before COVID started. And then he made it to the, so he's a junior this year. Last year, he took 5th place at Mideast Regionals. So obviously, he didn't qualify for nationals last year. And now this year, he's 5th in the nation. So kind of impressive the trajectory he's on. Of course, like I said, he's a junior. So we'll see him again next year.
Hopefully, you can take a few steps up that ladder and give Alfred State the first champ.
That'd be crazy. The Ox game would be pretty nuts after that. Got to give a shout out to, like I said, Jack Ryan, though. He's a Connecticut kid wrestling at Oneonta State. He placed 7th in the nation, beating another Mideast kid for 8th or 7th and 8th. Moving up to 197 pounds.
Oh, hold on. We have one more New York kid,
The New York University kid.
Ryder Slayton from Isaiah. He actually wrestled in section
Section
five.
5 kid.
Yep, he was a state place finisher in 2020, right before COVID, I believe. Or
Wrestled at Camp
maybe
Steele, right?
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so shout out to him, and then a shout out to Trent Furman of New York University as well. But yeah, so moving up to 197 pounds, we got Masoma and Dean of Wartburg. The dude is a specimen. He won by major decision over Gabe Zierden of Concordia Moorhead. So he beat him 12-4 in the finals. Yeah, Mo is what they call him, Mo and Dean. He's a freak. He won by fall, won by tech fall. Then in the semis, actually, was an interesting match because the kid came out of nowhere, Montgomery Mills. Which Jaden Ironman's dad was actually the coach at Westminster, or is the coach at Westminster. So this Montgomery Mills is down by, I can't, he was trailing by, against the Augsburg kid and pins him. So the whole place goes crazy because an Augsburg kid gets pinned in the first round. And then the second match, he's wrestling a kid from University of Wisconsin La Crosse. Again, they got a huge following. He was losing 16-7 with this match. And pins that kid to make the semis. Of course, then he lost to Indeen in the semis, but that Mills ended up wrestling back. He won two more and got two more falls in doing so, and he took 3rd. But that kid is very impressive, very unorthodox style. Yeah, so moving at 197, we didn't have any All-Americans at this weight, but we did have Ryan Galka of Ithaca. Unfortunately, he ran into Mo and Dean in the pigtails. Lost by tech fall there, and then he lost 10-7 in the pigtail wrestle backs. And then moving up to 285 pounds. This was another interesting part because it could have came down to the heavyweights if all things went well. But the Augsburg kid, Tyler Kim of Augsburg, won a national title over University of Wisconsin La Crosse. Michael Douglas. So yeah, again, this was Wisconsin La Crosse versus an Augsburg kid. If the Augsburg kid at 184 did not win, or I guess if the Wisconsin lacrosse kids actually won the lighter
Earlier.
weights, yeah, earlier, then it would have came down to the heavyweights, which a lot of people were like, oh, this is going to come down to heavyweights. It's exciting. but didn't happen. And Walter or Tyler Kim of Augsburg won 4-2. Looking at this weight, any New York guys that stand out?
Believe it had one. Nick Franco from Brockport.
Yep. Brockport's lone national qualifier, Nick Franco, lost in the first match and wrestled back in the pigtail back or pigtail match. No, yeah, he
Yeah,
did
he
wrestle
lost.
back in the pigtail last, and then he lost to the Avery kid. But yeah, shout out to all the New York guys that were at the tournament. I mean, there was plenty of New York guys. Obviously, a decent amount of them did place. But it being in the Providence next year, I think it would be very, very cool to have a huge following like these other Midwest teams did for, always do, I guess. They always have a good following at their national tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to I want to talk about how impressive it is just to qualify for D3 Nationals. I mean, there's what, 100 plus schools with D3 wrestling teams and only 18 qualify per weight.
Yeah, so there's six regions, right? And the top three at each region qualify for the national tournament. So, like I said, Sean Malenfant took fifth last year. So, I mean, I guess I can't remember who took fourth this year, but Mideast had all three guys place at 184. Like I said, Malenfant, Jack Ryan, and then the Ursinus kid. I mean, there's obviously a ton of kids. We were talking about, I think I saw Nate Leonard post Avery had beaten a couple of kids that, he was right behind kids that all three kids that placed in his
Yeah,
region.
so the number one guy at 141 pounds, a number three guy, and number four guy, all were from the same region where Avery took fourth.
Yeah. So, I
I
mean,
mean,
like, it's crazy. I mean, in, like I said, Mideast region, obviously, average wise, I think they average, where they kind of should have averaged for all Americans, if eight All Americans at 10 weights, that's 80. And you divide that by six. I think they ended up with 12-ish, 13-ish All
I think we
Americans
had
without,
12. I was looking at it before. I think we had 12. The one above us had 14, and then there was another one with 23.
Yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure I know which region had 23, but yeah, without looking at it, I probably should have done all that stuff while I was on the train ride because it's kind of boring train ride. But yeah, so I mean, I'm a big stats guy too. I do have to give a shout out to Castleton though. Castleton, right across the border over there in Vermont. The head coach is Legacy, who was, the head coach at Mount Anthony. And a dynamo or a powerhouse in Vermont for years, Mount Anthony was. But it's kind of cool to see what him and other Mount Anthony guys are doing as coaches at Castleton. Castleton has several New York guys. Max Temple, I believe, is on the coaching staff there. They have Evan Day, who wrestles Section 2, Jachon Holmes, Gregory. There's a bunch of guys that actually were at the tournament as training partners, practice partners for the national qualifiers who are still young and their times to shine as well coming up. So it's pretty cool to
Yeah,
see what
actually,
Castleton's doing.
one of my club kids are committed there. He'll be going there next year. Logan Bruce, who's a state qualifier this year.
Nice. Yeah, they're I actually was talking to one of the assistant coaches, just picking their mind about like what Castleton's all about. Obviously it's cool to hear about different colleges and what kind of they're known for. And I didn't honestly just don't really know what Castleton's for, known for. And they're still a young program, youngish program. I can't remember when they started, but to see how far they've risen so far, in their short career,
Yeah, I mean
good to see.
they recruit very well. I mean, their 125 finder was a PA state champ,
Yeah, Gavin
Gavin
Bradley,
Walker,
that kid's tough.
Matheson.
And then it's cool actually that Samson Wilkins, the kid that actually beat Malenfant in the quarterfinals, he's a Mount Anthony kid himself. So he's gone through the Mount Anthony program, something that was built, and the way they run things is, was built by Legacy, and now he's competing for Legacy. So yeah, it's pretty cool to see some of these programs, and hopefully, like I said though, next year, I mean, gotta get crazy. I mean, I think Oswego State just had their family members there,
Right.
a lot of the other schools obviously did too. I mean, you got to really, I mean, you're asking a lot, I guess, if you want to go to take hundreds of people to La Crosse, Wisconsin, not a totally easy place to get to. I mean, unless
No,
you
I
fly
agree.
into Minneapolis and then take a car, which I probably should have looking back, but train was pretty fun. But yeah,
Honestly,
Providence,
so
Rhode
traveling
Island
by
next
train
year.
sounds kind of cool.
Dude, train cars are sweet. And I'm not gonna lie, I was in the observatory car from Chicago to across, and kind of cool to have a few drinks and watch the cornfields on one side and the soy fields on the other side. I mean, that's all you're seeing. So yeah, so that about does it for this episode. We will be having John Malenfant of Alfred State, Carly Grigas of Oswego State, Alex Sampson of St. John Fisher coming on next. So stay tuned.
Stick around and have some fun listening to these guys talk about their stories.
We are here with 2024 NCAA All-American, placing fifth at 174 pounds, Charlie Grigas of Oswego State. Charlie, how you doing?
Good, man. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You recovering after a long season?
Yeah, definitely a little sore still, which is weird. I think the NCAAs, you tend to wrestle more matches than at any other tournament. So my body, it was still kind of a shock to my body. But I'm doing good though. I'm happy, so.
So looking back at your career, as a multiple time All-American, what are you most proud of during your time at Oswego State?
I'd say I'm proud of my consistency. I think I've managed to, being a three-time All-American, I've managed to have consistent success. It would have been nice to pull ahead and get that championship that I, was hoping to get, but the consistency is really big for me because I think that's a hard thing to do in the sport of wrestling. It's hard to stay consistent. It can really wear on your body, and it can definitely wear on your mind a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you battled your whole career, so I mean, it was great to see you get on the podium again. Despite like you said, not winning your national title that you ultimately set out for. But I think my favorite part of the tournament was the shush you gave Augsburg. And we don't have to talk about what was said because Zach and I kind of I already just talked about it earlier on the episode. But the D3s are a pretty unique tournament. And you've wrestled at them a few times now. How interesting is it to compete against those Midwest teams that, let's just say have a rowdy following?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. After that guy said that to me, basically, I guess I won't say what he said, but it was like a taunt, before the match. And first I was like kind of ticked off. It rubbed me the wrong way. And then my coach, Austin Whitney, was like, you gotta love that, man. You gotta enjoy that. It's just fun being here. How guys are gonna clap back at you, and it should fire you up a little bit. So I told my coaches, I was like, after I beat this kid, I'm gonna shush him because they said that. And it was fun because they got such a big crowd. And they do get rowdy. Augsburg probably the most out of any other school. They had so many people there. So yeah, that was a good win, especially because, they told me he was gonna pin me, and then he almost did in the beginning of the match. And I was scared. I was literally on my back thinking about that, like, dude, I can't get pinned now. So to come back from that deficit, the 7-0 deficit, and ultimately to win was that felt really good.
Yeah. I mean, when you were rattling off points left and right, I was like, yeah, all right, this is good, And I didn't know what was said at that time before. I mean, I did see you reach up and grab the coffee, in that their stands, where their stand fans were sitting. But yeah. So I mean, it's cool. Like you said, I mean, I hear this from people that compete in Carver-Hawkeye Arena against Iowa. Like, their fans are not nice to those people. They want to taunt them, and they want to get under their skin because obviously it helps their wrestlers better, I guess. So I mean, it's cool seeing someone like yourself who's wrestled there a few times, and you ultimately got the last laugh shushing them. So it was pretty cool. But another cool moment was parade of All Americans. You fist bumped Sean Malenfant of Alfred State. What does it mean to have another Section 2 guy on that stage with you Saturday night?
That was awesome because I knew Sean a little bit in high school. We weren't ever close or anything, but we had practiced together at like the state practices and stuff. So we kind of knew who each other were. And then, a few years had gone by and we weren't really close at all. Actually, I never talked to him really at all throughout college. I just knew he was doing well and I was happy for him. And then to see him at regionals, to win the regionals, I was happy for him. So I talked to him a little bit there. And then at nationals, he knew it was just me and Gabe, who was a lot lighter at 141. So he offered, hey, if you need somebody to warm up with, before your matches, I'm here. And I was like, awesome. So we rolled together before almost every one of our matches. And it worked out too, where he took fifth also. So we kind of went match for match. We won all the same and we lost all the same matches. So we were always coming up right around the same time because he's 184 right above me. So I feel like just having that connection with him, we got a lot closer over that tournament. And by the end, when he walked up to me, I was like, my man, you know, I gave him a fist bump. So that was awesome, dude. And I was really happy for him too, to see him, you know, get out. I think it was his first time getting on the podium. Actually, I think it was his first time at the tournament, and to get on the podium was, I was really happy for him. That was sick.
Yeah, I was just talking about how he went from fifth last year at Mideast Regionals to fifth this year at the NCAA tournament. So it's pretty cool to see. Of course, being Alfred State's first All-American as well, which is really awesome. But, you know, talking about other guys that are Section 2 guys, you know, you look at Oswego State postseason, you see six Lakers that placed at Regionals, and four of them are young guys. You know, Smith, obviously, Landon is a Saranac guy just north of Section 2. But, you know, you look at Santor, Rossini, and then NCAA qualifier Gabe Goss. And they're all still young, all four of them that placed the regionals. Now, what do you think of the underclassmen's performance? And, you know, what do you see being built with them at Oswego State?
It's really exciting, and you know, I'm really proud to be teammates with those guys, especially because they're Section 2 guys. We always joke around, like on our team, like Section 2 is really on top here in Oswego, huh? Like, because you know, the what is it, the four of us, you know, had a lot of success through the season, so it was good. It also kind of makes me wish I had another year because I like the idea of being on, you know, like a powerhouse team. And this past year we did a lot better. We still struggled at some points against some schools, but I do feel like we have a really strong core group of guys, and they're going to continue that. And you know, I know for a fact, you know, the ones that didn't qualify for the Nationals this year will at some point in their career, and you know, I think they'll all American as well. So I'm really excited to follow them once I'm done.
It's cool to see because, like, you obviously at the national tournament when it was the COVID year when it was canceled, when you're out there, you were out there with Christian, you know, another Section 2 guy. And now your senior year, Gabe Goss comes in as an underclassman and, you know, he witnesses you All American, but, you know, he's got another 3 years to go. So it's pretty cool to see, you know, the development and see where he'll go following up after, you know, you graduate this year. But, I want to talk about your injury. You know, I know you're battling with injuries during your college career and, you know, more so at this tournament. And, you know, your teammates, like, you were obviously limping. It wasn't anything crazy to see. Like, you were trying to get your leg warmed up a little bit, but your teammate and your coaches both said, you know, you would wrestle until your leg was ripped off. And, you know, some seniors might pack it in on day two, after they are all American, you know, whatever. You know, where does that passion and stubbornness come from?
I think it comes internally a little bit. You know, I've always enjoyed wrestling, and if I, you know, if I can wrestle, I'm gonna wrestle. And I think my coaches embody the same mindset. Howard especially, he's just a tough old guy who's, he doesn't really take no for an answer. Even if I had said that I wanted to default to eighth place or whatever, he would have said, are you kidding? You know, he would have given me a hard time. So even if I wanted to do that, I know there's no place for it in the culture that, you know, they've built. But yeah, it was scary. So going into regionals, I had a torn MCL, which happened at practice. And I didn't want anybody to know about it, obviously. But I had a brace going at regionals, so people kind of saw there was something going on with my knee. But I wrestled through it. I wrestled pretty well at regionals. It didn't bother me too much. And then my coaches wanted me to forfeit in the finals, so we did that, which I guess kind of goes against what we're saying right now. But then to get to nationals, the MCL was feeling good. I didn't really need the brace anymore. And I didn't want to wrestle with it because it kind of felt like it, you know, held me back a little. So I didn't. And then in the Wartburg match, he starts prying my leg at some point, and then the LCL on the other side, I felt a pop. And I'm like, dude, you got to be kidding me. So for the rest of that day, it was okay. And I could keep wrestling. It was a little bit of pain through the blood round. And then I went back to the hotel, went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and it was stiff. Like it had tightened up in my sleep so bad, I couldn't even bend it. So when I woke up in the morning, Howard's in my room to like check my weight, and I'm limping to the scale, and I could see it on his face. He was like, "This is bad, man." And I wasn't sure how it was gonna play out, but we had Elise with us, our trainer, and she did a ton of stim, massaged it a bunch, loaded me up on ibuprofen, and we just kind of kept moving it little by little until it was like loose enough where I could, wrestle with it. And I didn't want my opponents to see me limping around, so I was really trying to like walk normally, but everybody told me later that day, like, you did a horrible job. Like, we could see you were obviously messed up. But by the time I got to wrestling that first match against the Augsburg kid, it was loose enough where I could roll pretty good, and it worked out well. So I was glad to be able to finish out. I didn't want to have to, default to eighth. Even if I had, like, say, lost every match down to eighth place, I would have taken a little bit more pride in that than defaulting. Because I don't want to say it's like a coward move if you really can't wrestle. I understand that. But I mean, it's my last season. It's my last shot at it. Like, there's really no reason to, because whatever happens, like, I'm gonna recover. I can take time to, reflect on it. I would forever regret if I had, forfeited those matches. So I just figured I'd give it a go. And it worked out pretty well, so I'm happy with it.
I would say the same thing. Yeah. I mean, Gabe said that during warmups on day two. He's like, Charlie's obviously hurting, but this is his last go. Like, you're not going to really wrestle competitively at this level again. You know, you're going to go, like I said, you're going to go out until your legs ripped off if it's got to be like that. But yeah, like you said, shout out to Elise Fitzsimmons. You know, it's athletic, National Athletic Training Month. And gave a little shout out yesterday on the Instagram page, but shout out to her. For being there. She obviously taped up your leg pretty well, and you got the job done. But that goes give got to give her credit, obviously, as well, like you said. So shout out to her. That was really good to see. Looking at your career, the last I don't even know how long ago, you've been a wrestler. You know, that's kind of been your identity as a wrestler. You know, what will you miss most about being a wrestler?
It's actually funny you say the identity thing, because I was just talking to my brother on the phone the other day, and he was asking me if I was satisfied, if I felt like I was fulfilled with my career, and I said, yeah, I do. Although, as much as I've let wrestling kind of become my identity through my life, it's not what defines me. It's just something fun that I do, and I think I'm pretty good at it, and I think I had some good success at it, and I'm really happy with it. But I know I'm gonna have to fill that void with something else. I really like rugby, so every spring after my season, I've always played rugby with the club team here, so I'll probably do that. And then maybe when I'm graduated, play on a men's team or something out in Syracuse. So we'll see. I just know that I'm a competitor at heart, and I want to keep competing at something. And wrestling's given me that for a long time, and odds are I'll probably end up coaching at some point, because I've heard so many people say it really helps fill that void, and you can transfer some of your passion and love over to the people you coach. So that'll probably be something I do. But yeah, I don't know. I'll just keep competing in life at whatever I do. So.
I love that mindset. Yeah. And like you said, like wrestling, it's something you do, it's something that's fun, that you enjoy. It's not necessarily the main end all be all. Like Penn State guys say that all the time. And Keegan O'Toole just had an interview about that as well. So, I mean, I like your mindset on that as well.
I was just gonna say, I've heard a lot from Penn State about that too, and I love what Cale has to say about it. How he's saying, he says, don't be nervous. It's okay to be nervous, but don't be nervous about being nervous. Just meaning, have fun with this whole thing. It's just a game. It's fun,
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, some people kind of look at it a little bit too much, and seeing like successful wrestlers, Penn State guys, yourself, like just people that actually buy into it and believe by it. It's pretty cool to see, and I think more people should kind of follow that as well. You talked about maybe getting into coaching. What are your future plans though after college?
Okay, so people keep asking me this question, and I haven't really given much of a solid answer yet, which I'm getting to the point where I got to figure that out. I was planning on going to Australia actually for a long time. just going to live there. Not really for any reason in particular. I was just gonna go kind of live there and work and on a work visa and enjoy myself down there before I get into a career of teaching. But I got a girlfriend now, so I'll probably stick around. And I don't think it's easy to make things work when you're on the other side of the world. So I'll probably stick around. And Howard told me if I need it, I always have a fallback here where I can, he'll give me some kind of payment and I'll work for coach in Oswego and then get on a substitute list at Oswego Middle School and just so I can get on my feet because I still gotta do my certification exams for teaching and get my master's and whatnot. So it's kind of all fluid right now, but I'm not too worried because I have a lot of options and I've had a lot of wrestlers reach out and offer me some good setups. So because of that wrestling community, I don't feel like I'm really on my own too much. I feel like I'm in good hands with everybody. So I'm just gonna kind of see how it unfolds. But right now I'm definitely in the immediate future, I don't know, but eventually I'll end up teaching and coaching. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I think you'll do a pretty good job at that. You're a very personable guy. So yeah. And being a personable guy and having a good mindset on things, what advice would you give to someone, in the wrestling world that's coming up through, whether it doesn't matter if it's peewees or if it's high school wrestling or just younger college wrestlers, what advice would you give them?
Do it to a level that you can stay passionate about and just have as much fun as you can. And with that passion, try to promote a level of confidence in yourself because I think confidence goes so far in wrestling. And it's obvious, you see the best guys, they're walking around with swagger and they're so confident all the time. But you got to truly believe that you belong where you are and you belong at the top. Even though a lot of times you're not going to end up at the top, everybody faces matches that they lose and times where they're not satisfied with their output. But you also can't win those big matches and have a lot of success without that confidence. You got to believe in yourself. And you see, like, again, you see the best guys, like the high school recruits, even the kids, that are getting recruited by Penn State and Iowa and those top schools, they're so confident in their abilities. That when they go into that new room, that college room with all these studs, they're still going to be feeling really confident about themselves. And that true deep confidence that you get, it doesn't go away when you lose or when you don't have success because, you understand, even though I didn't get what I wanted here, I'm still a good person and I'm still happy with who I am. And again, this is defining. So I'd say confidence is the biggest thing because you're going to have that forever. You're not going to have wrestling forever, but you are going to have your personality and the people around you that love you forever. So just enjoying it and being confident in who you are and trying to allow the sport to build you to be the best person you can be. I think it's hard to see how important that is when you're young and when you start. But when you look back at it, I think everybody's going to see like the most important part of wrestling is what it does for you as a person. So,
Dude, well
yeah,
said.
that.
I mean, that's brilliant. Like I couldn't have said it any better. And I'm glad that I asked you that question because that was a great answer. And yeah, that's awesome. I mean, more people should listen in on to that.
Thanks,
Charlie, you
man.
got anything else to add?
Not really, man. I think you asked some good questions, so not really. I just, I'm happy with my career and I'm really happy the impact this sport has had on me and I hope in the future I can do what some of my coaches have done for me. So,
Yeah.
and I really and I
Amen.
really appreciate I really appreciate all the coverage too, by the way. All that you've done with the More Wrestling and it
Yeah.
makes wrestlers feel good when they can see that their accomplishments are being promoted online and stuff. So when I open my phone and I see you posted something for me, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. So that feels really good and
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you. I
it.
appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to make the trip out there and try to give some spotlight to the New York guys and the New York teams that were competing. So, I mean, I kind of felt like I did so at the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
So I was glad that I got the job done, and I'm glad that you guys got the job done as well. So I appreciate that.
Yeah,
But yeah,
thanks a lot.
Charlie. Yeah, no doubt. Charlie, good luck on your future endeavors. And well, thanks again for being a fun guy to watch, follow in wrestling.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it a lot, Dylan.
All right. Take care. See ya. We are here with the first Division III All-American for Alfred State and Coach Siggs, placing fifth at 184 pounds, Sean Malenfant. Sean, has it hit you that you're an All-American yet?
I think it's starting to set in a little bit. I really couldn't even fathom it while it was happening. But it feels pretty good. Yeah.
Is it as good as the Bojangles that you ate during your layover yesterday? Or
I don't
Sunday,
think it was even close to the Bojangles.
right? That looked pretty delicious, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
So like we just mentioned, you were walking around campus today with your All-American trophy. You got some good pictures around campus. How does that feel to kind of like bring that trophy back to Alfred State?
It makes me feel proud. I'm proud of, honestly, just my teammates and the community that I'm part of that got me to where I am.
So, from fifth in the Mideast region last year to fifth at NCAAs this year, what has Coach Siggs been preaching during this year and leading up to NCAAs?
I think pretty much what the motto was for getting to where I got to this year was to battle test me. He just put me through the ringer time and time again and made me deal with it.
What was one of your focuses on as you approached, this season, and then of course the postseason as well?
I think over the summer, my focus was, honing in on my technique, trying to keep up my cardio, not get too burnt out, but just kind of keep on growing as a wrestler. And then in season, it was kind of more about really fine-tuning that technique, and just getting ready to battle a whole 7 minutes.
Yeah. So you're a junior, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you feel that like making it to the national tournament? Obviously, you placed your first year wrestling at the national tournament. What do you kind of take away from the national tournament most that might help you prepare for next year, during the next 12 months?
Well, I think that my conditioning really paid off, and I think that that's something that I'm gonna have to take into my season next year. And there's a few things that I gotta fix technique-wise that my opponents don't need to hear about on this podcast.
I love it. That's a good call. Talking about your technique though, you're trailing 4-2 going into the third in your blood draw match against Furman of NYU, and obviously you got a takedown earlier in the third period, and then of course the final takedown that ended up putting him on his back, in the bar and then pinning him in true Malenfant fashion. But did you start to feel that he was fading in the third period?
Yeah, I felt it in the second, honestly. I
Yeah.
knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, I started to notice it too, and then you started to pick up the pace, and your attack rate started to go up, and I had a good feeling going into the third, and then of course, the way you did it, pinning him to become an All-American was special, and then you were able to get the, like I said, the two takedowns, and eventually Jason Bryant announced on the mic that you made history becoming the first NCAA Division III All-American in Alfred State history, a program that's been around since 1950. Obviously, was a junior college, and then it's transitioned the last few years. It's been a Division III college, but how special is it to kind of lay the foundation for the Ox Gang and the future Pioneers?
It's really special to me. My goal in high school was to become the first state champ for Averill Park. I wanted to break history in that sense. But my senior year, was COVID, so I didn't get the chance to do that. But so I feel like I kind of redeemed myself, from what happened. But I still want to do better next year, and I still want to improve. So the job's not finished, but I'm just happy, for, like I said, for the community at Alfred and what all of us did together. It wasn't just me doing this. I gotta thank, my dad for pushing me. I gotta thank my coaches for pushing me, and my teammates that would come work out with me at 10 at night, and go get extra scraps in the room. So yeah, I'm just really happy for us as a whole.
Yeah, that's all part of the Ox gang, man. I interviewed you at the beginning of the season when I went down there to get some content, and the Ox gang, you mentioned how a special thing it was, and how great was it for like your teammates were pr pretty much mat side for you in that last in your blood round match when you became an All-American. I was able to get that on video of you giving some high fives and hugs to your coaches, and then going over and Smith was over there, and Elijah was over there, and then Levy was over there as well, and it was just really cool to kind of see that. But like, how special was it for you to have them right there with you?
It was awesome. It was really special. Yeah.
Yep. During the Parade of Champions or the All-Americans, I talked about this with Charlie just before you got on, but you and fellow Section 2 alum Charlie Griegas fist pump. What does it mean to you to have an All-American that's Section 2 guy standing beside you up there on the stage?
Was pretty cool. Section two, baby.
That's right. Yeah. It was pretty neat. Like I kind of saw it happening. I mean, obviously you both took fifth, so you're standing right there next to each other on the stage, but you both had a pretty big smile on your face, so it was definitely cool to see as a New York guy. But what's on
Yeah.
the agenda for this off season? I mean, I talked about I added in a little subliminal thing, laying the foundation for the Ox Gang and future pioneers. Obviously, you're going to Alfred State for Masonry, right?
Correct. Yeah, I got my associate's degree last year, and now I'm back in Alfred getting my bachelor's for construction supervision.
Sweet. That's awesome. I mean, you're obviously a busy guy, and I was actually talking to some media people, like obviously Alfred State and St. John Fisher were kind of the talk of I had New York gear on, and they're like, "What are you here covering?" And I told them, just a lot of the New York schools and the New York wrestlers, and they said something about Alfred State. I'm like, it's really cool school because it's a hands-on school. I feel it's a blue collar school. My buddy graduated from there. It's got a nice job. And it's a great trade school, and a lot of people, it benefits a lot of people that want to get into that after high school. So it was cool to talk about that. And obviously I knew you were going there for Masonry. Yeah, I really think that's awesome. And a lot of other people were kind of surprised to hear that that's the school that it was. But like I said, what's on the agenda for you in this off season? And back to work you go.
Well, I'm gonna be back to swinging a hammer and enjoying my summer, but I'm definitely gonna be training, hopefully getting into a little bit of freestyle, going for runs around Avril Park, and just getting ready.
Back on that grind. What's some advice that you would give your teammates that are either experienced this season with you, obviously that are going to be wrestling with you next year, or just new people that are coming into Alfred State? What kind of advice would you give to them from what you've kind of learned this year as an All-American?
I'd say to learn to love it, love the game, and just live your passion,
Dude, I don't know if you and Charlie Griegas were on talking to each other today, but that's pretty much exactly what he said. So I mean, that's if you heard it from one person, and now you've heard it from you, two All-Americans, you're preaching the same thing. So I'd love that. Is there
That's pretty
anything else that
cool.
you, yeah, it is. It's kind of crazy, like it's kind of weird. But is there anything else that you want to add?
No, I'm just excited, and I'm excited for next year.
All right. Yeah. Good luck this upcoming year, and I can't wait to follow you next year.
Thank
Go,
you.
go yeah, sir. Go Ox Gang.
Go Ox Gang.
And before we bring on our last guest, I just got to follow up with what Sean just said. He said he plans on doing a little bit of freestyle, and I do have to give a plug to the New York USA Wrestling. You go to their Instagram page, their website. I think the Facebook page. There's several other places. I know I shared it on Instagram as well. They just came out with their 2024 season schedule. So it's got a lot of different things starting from this upcoming weekend to pretty much all the way to the Northeast Regionals. And of course, after that, there'll be a lot of clinics and whatnot, team state team practices, gearing up for Fargo in July. But yeah, don't miss out on any of this stuff. You know, freestyle in Greco is huge, and you know, as I mentioned on the state recap episode, a lot of the guys that placed and even won states competed at Fargo, whether it was this last summer or the summer before. So yeah, give that a look on New York USA Wrestling. But without further ado, last but not least for episode 100, Alex Sampson, St. John Fisher's 141-pound All-American. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. Still recovering from the long train ride, but yeah, we're getting through. You know,
Yeah.
being a transfer student and coming to St. John Fisher, you know, who just restarted the wrestling program from the mid-1980s, you know, has it hit you what it actually means to the Fisher program on being an All-American and placing seventh?
To be completely honest, probably not. Still been trying to process just a lot of different emotions about my career being over and what I just accomplished and my whole college wrestling career as a whole. So definitely hasn't hit yet, but it's starting to, so.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you've been in the game for quite a bit. And I mean, same with Charlie Grigas, who I had on two interviews ago. But it's like you've been in it for a while now, and you know you're fortunate enough to wrestle at Mercyhurst for, you know, several years, and now finishing up your final year at the St. John Fisher. It's been a wild ride, and I'm sure you know it'll hit you, and then you kind of look back and kind of smile at this past weekend that you had. But you know, I interviewed you at the beginning of the season when I came down to St. John Fisher to do content, and you know, just talking about how cool it would be for you to come back to the Rochester area to compete for St. John Fisher. You know, something that wasn't an option for you at the time of coming out of high school. And like I said, that interview was at the beginning of the season. So now I have to ask, you know, how nice was it to compete in front of a hometown crowd during this season as a Cardinal?
Yeah, it was definitely great. I mean, just like I talked about in the beginning of the year, like I love Rochester Section 5 wrestling, and to be able to come back and see all the familiar faces, have like local people like Ekstrom and Mullen on the staff, it really helps. It was awesome. Caper and Ammons, they got to watch me a little bit this year, and just I really do just appreciate Section 5 wrestling and Rochester wrestling. So it was really nice to come back and be able to accomplish something that historic.
That is pretty
Yeah,
cool.
for
Yeah, I
sure.
mean, St. John Fisher's obviously got a lot of local talent, as you know, as well, like the freshmen and sophomores, but you know, it's got the transfers as well. And it was cool to see you guys all come together. And year two of the St. John Fisher program was definitely a successful one. You know, and
Yeah,
I
definitely.
talking about the interview that I did at the beginning of the season, you know, I asked you what your goals were, and they were to be, you had different goals, you know, and your goal was to be an All-American, but it was all to also to have fun and be focused for every match. Now, how did you approach each match to be focused and relaxed?
I would just I definitely felt like a mentality switch this year. I just felt very confident and very relaxed each match, and I just knew just to keep on wrestling each match. There wasn't like I was just very much in a flow state each match this year, and I no matter what happened, if I was losing, winning, I just kept wrestling and kept looking to score, and I never really got too high or too low during a match, which I was really proud of myself with that.
I mean, it's kind of funny because Saturday before the finals, you know, wrestling had finished up for you, and I was with Morrison and Ekstrom, and we were talking about your run through the tournament. And you know, I felt like I was the anxious one, Matt's side, each time that you fell into some of that far ankle scrambles. And I was just rewatching your blood round match against the New England kid, and both of the takedowns that you scored were off of his shot. And you know, you kind of fell down to the far ankle, and your hips were in better position, and you felt obviously comfortable in that position. Where did you learn to kind of live in those situations, and you know, how do you stay poised in those situations?
Yeah, I mean, I think just Section 5 as a whole, like growing up, like I went to G2 and Superior, and you know, I really do believe just Rochester just produces really good scramblers. So I would like to credit all the clubs I grew up in, and obviously Victor Wrestling, and I've just always been a scrambler. I don't know why. I don't know how it ended up being that way, but I would like to think it's because Rochester predominantly produces really good scramblers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Yanni's not too bad of a scrambler himself. But
Yeah.
yeah, just in general, you guys are pretty good at scrambling. I gotta ask, is Coach Ian Amons a true OG for traveling 36 hours on a train round trip to watch you compete this past weekend?
Yeah, definitely. I love Ammons. He's a great dude. He helped me out so much in high school. And that just goes back to like the first thing we talked about. It was so nice to go back and just see all the familiar faces and just be around the people who actually support me and believe in me, which I lacked a little bit.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, especially for him to go out there, just watch one of his former wrestlers, finish up your college career and just be there for a special moment in your time. And it was pretty cool too because him and I between Chicago and La Crosse, and then on the way back from La Crosse to Chicago, we found ourselves in the observatory car having a few drinks and reflecting on the weekend or talking about the tournament to come, and it was pretty fun. And I know he the layover we had in Chicago, he met up with Venosa, and Venosa and him went out to dinner, so it was pretty cool to he obviously watched you wrestle, but he was also linked up with another former wrestler of his and was chilling with him in Chicago to get a bite to eat. But
Yeah, Vinosa's a great guy. I loved having him as a teammate.
yeah, you were fortunate enough definitely to have some really good teammates, and it's awesome. It shows. But having a lot of teammates who are either in their first or second year of college wrestling at St. John Fisher, what advice would you give to them as someone who's just accomplished a goal that many of them are trying to achieve at St. John Fisher?
Probably the best advice and the thing that will give them the most confidence and improve their character the most would just be how they handle like unfortunate situations. I think like looking back in my career, I think the most proud of myself I've been was probably not even like accomplishing like the big dates in All America, winning the big matches. I think things I'm proud of myself the most were when things were looking rough, or I was in a really bad situation, or I wrestled a really bad match. And I regardless, like, just kept competing, or I just kept going forward, regardless of the result or regardless of the situation I was in. It's really easy to be proud of yourself when you're at your best, but I think it's even better yourself when you're at your worst and you show like who you truly are as like like your character, I would
Where
say,
do you
your
think you learned
toughness.
that?
I would just say, like, just being put in situations. Like, I know at Mercer, it's like a little bit, there was definitely some matches where I was just not the favorite in to win at all. And, or, I got benched a couple times. And there was definitely some situations where I was pretty down in the dumps and I wanted to give up on myself. But, I just kept going forward and I kept trying to get better no matter what. And I think those were the things that really helped me. So when I got to the national tournament, it's like, I've been through harder stuff before. I'm just at nationals. I'm just gonna go out there and have fun. This is a lot better than where I used to be.
That's a good point. That's a good way to look at it. I mean, kind of like a chop wood carry water thing. I mean, but whether you're having success or you're not, you're still doing the same thing, and you got to overcome whatever comes across your way. So, yeah, that's true. So you talked about Victor Wrestling. You talked about Mercyhurst. You finish up at St. John Fisher. What do you think you're going to miss most as a wrestler?
I would just say competing. Like, I would like to think of myself as a competitor. I really just love competing. That's probably my favorite thing to do. The cutting weight, the practices, although practice can be fun at times, it's not the most fun thing to do every day and it's not fun cutting weight, but I just really love the feeling of going out there on the mat and just knowing it's me against another guy. And I just love like all the emotions you get, all the pressure you get, and then the joy and victory and defeat. I think that's just like the main thing that attracted me to wrestling growing up.
Yeah, that's definitely something
And
that's attracted a lot of wrestlers, and just kind of motivates a lot of wrestlers too, like that feeling of competition and getting your hand raised or being victorious in whatever it is that you do, and especially post wrestling, right? I mean, that's kind of it drives you in life after wrestling as well, and it kind of leads me to ask, like, what are your plans for the future after after finishing up at St. John Fisher?
So currently I'm getting my MBA right now, and I'm not exactly sure what I want to do yet, but I'm just hoping to land a job, and I'll probably start looking a little bit this summer or maybe this month or next month, but just a nice like stable job to get my foot in the door, and then I can kind of try to figure out where I want to go, what I like from there. But I just want to get my foot in the door with like a certain business and see where that takes me.
If you had to describe your 1 year at St. John Fisher in like one sentence, how would you describe that?
I would just say perfect. Like you can't really draw it up any better than this how this year went. Like everything, like even as a team standpoint, like we had one dual meet loss to Case Western that didn't go our way. But like this year really pretty much went perfect. Obviously every individual wrestler on the team might think otherwise because everyone's going through their own journey. But as a team, like we really like I think we outperformed our expectations. Like we really just did everything we wanted to do. We had a lot of fun together, and even just talking to all my teammates and coaches, like this year just flew by. And I really believe it's just because we were having a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Ekstrom and Coach Morrison, even Coach Mullen, like they'd like to have fun, but like the addition of the coaches to the staff this year, and like the success you guys had, like you said, only having that one loss to Case Western, which I think it was like 20-19 or something, close, and then of course to top it off with their first All-American, it's just obviously it's great to see, and the program's obviously in a good spot, and that's going to open up a lot of doors, I think, for future Cardinals. So it's definitely good to see.
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed being a part of it, and it was great to, give back to Rochester and help the Fisher wrestling program. And obviously, I love all the coaches, so they can get better recruits or more wrestlers to come. I'm thankful that I helped out in that way.
Amen. Yeah, you got anything else to add?
Not really. It's just a great season. Appreciate everything from my teammates, my coaches, and my parents. Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate you for jumping on episode 100 of More Wrestling's podcast. I brought on three All-Americans, three New York guys, and it's great to listen to your guys' story and shine a little light on you guys because the D3, the Division Ones are coming up, and I know a lot of coverage for that, but there's not enough coverage, I don't think, for the Division Three programs. And it was great to watch you guys wrestle this past weekend in La Crosse, Wisconsin. So yeah, Alex, congrats on a great career, and good luck in your future endeavors.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
And that does it for episode 100. Like I said, three All-Americans joined us on this episode. Thank you all for listening in. And yeah, it's episode 100. I mean, a lot of you guys have been around since episode one, and we've grown as a podcast since then, and we'll continue to grow. But it's been a fun ride, and thanks for tuning in. Peace out.